Here's two things you might not think are related: firearms and fashion. Well, the Neville Public Museum in Green Bay says not so fast. They've put together an exhibit there called Guns and Gowns, 200 Years of Fashion and Firearms. Beth Lemke is executive director of the Neville Public Museum in Green Bay, and Lisa Kane is the curator of the Guns and Gowns exhibit. Beth, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
And Lisa, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, Lisa, some people might not put these two things together, the firearms and the fashion. What is it that you wanted to put those together, the history of them, in the same exhibit?
Well, it actually started in 2016 as a program. We do some behind-the-scenes tour-like things, and our educator and I usually do those together, and we were kind of joking around about what would attract couples or what would attract the whole family. And it kind of started as a joke, and as we really kind of looked into it, it worked out. So we did that program, and it was a success. And then Beth looked at us and said, hey, can we make this an exhibit?
And Beth, what do we see when we walk through the Guns and Gowns exhibit? Give us a little picture.
I think the Neville team did a great job of blending the fashion pieces as well as the firearms. It is a mixture. It does have a chronology to it. So we look at the earliest pieces from the Revolutionary War, but we bring it all the way up to the Vietnam era. And so you're looking at the conflicts as well as then bridging the technology and the fashion at the time. And it's a really neat presentation of signature pieces from the Neville's collection.
And Lisa, before we dig into each of them on their own terms, doing this together, did you see some kind of common theme emerging as to how guns and gowns changed over 200 years?
Oh, yes. It happened a lot around conflict, and that kind of became a theme that, like Beth had said, you know, drove a lot of the story, not in every era, but if conflict wasn't the driving force, it definitely was technological change. But actually, those two things crossed a lot, you know, over the last 200 years.
Now, let's start with the dresses side of thing. I just picked at random between the two. As you're looking at the exhibit they put together, Beth, what jumps out at you when you look at the evolution of the dresses over that time period?
Oh, I think of the women who wore them. We look at the team made custom mannequins for each gown because there's not one standard way. And as the time changed, the gowns changed, but the women's shape also defined the dresses. So there are Dutch court gowns that had huge bustles and would have needed corsets to things then in the 1970s where you have more of a slim, you know, hanging dress. And it's just a wide array of color and texture. And, yeah, I just think of the women.
And, Lisa, I looked at I haven't been to the exhibit in person, but you've got a lot of the pieces online. And something that struck me was that a lot of the things on both sides, the guns and the gowns, they have a Green Bay area connection. Can you talk about how the pieces fit in locally?
Yeah, and that kind of speaks to what our collection holds. It's a lot of Eastern Wisconsin people's stories, so the women's stories or even the veterans who carried the weapons. And it kind of worked out that way. We talk a little bit about those Green Bay connections. One of them is the Dutch court gowns that Beth was talking about. It belonged to the Tonk family. So in our area, a lot of things are named after that early Green Bay family. And it's actually the woman who came here, she came here and brought these gowns with her. They were her mother's, and she wore them at court in Holland at the time. So they all have this kind of connection. We got a lot of Civil War connected stories. And then through the years, you kind of see these connections to veterans really emerge after World War I, which was kind of fascinating in our research.
And Beth, looking at the gowns over the era, did that give you a feel for, as part of what a museum does, what it was like to live in these different time periods?
Absolutely. I think in each vignette, the staff did an amazing job of taking background textures and images to help supplement what was going on during the time period, whether it's a black and white photograph from Pearl Harbor when we're looking at World War II, or where we have amazing photographs from the collection. So in one of the sections, there are, you know, an array of women in photographs behind the Civil War gowns. So you kind of see that context, and it's just a really neat display.
Talking to Beth Lemke and Lisa Kane with the Neville Public Museum in Green Bay, talking about an exhibit there now, Guns and Gowns, 200 Years of Fashion and Firearms. Let's turn to the firearm side of things. Beth, can you talk us through The range. Talk about changes in technology. There's been a lot over the last couple hundred years.
Definitely. That's where I think our team excels at, because I'm not definitely the expert in that, but we definitely go from the Revolutionary War and flintlock all the way up to automated types of weaponry in the exhibit. My favorite piece, because it has such a cool story to it, is there is a Tommy gun. And the interesting part about it, it's on loan from the Green Bay Police Department. The Wisconsin Bankers Association purchased it and gifted it to the police department because they were concerned about bank robberies. And the Green Bay Police Department didn't have a weapon like that in its arsenal. And so that's one of the two borrowed pieces. The rest are from the Neville's collection that are stored on site. But that one just has such a powerful piece and a powerful story.
And Beth, can you talk about the role of firearms in the history and establishment of Green Bay?
Ooh, that I was going to say, that would be more of a Lisa
question.
Well,
it's Lisa, sorry.
That's what I was going to say. She's got definitely the history down pat for that one.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really interesting because the guns, like Beth said, are a part of our collection. And most of what is ours does come from these veteran stories. So they're either having these weapons they were using for hunting and taking them to war with them, or some of them are actually were gifted to us in a big collection. So as a gun collector, and so he had a wide variety of guns, everything from the Revolutionary gun to a pen gun, you know, from the 70s. So the range is just, it's quite amazing, and you can see a lot of history and a lot of technology just within that space.
And Beth, part of what I love about museums is, you know, you're seeing the thing, the stuff, but also then the people who know things connect it with the story of the place or the time or the person. Can you talk about how this exhibit fits into telling the story of Green Bay?
I always challenge the team to say, what is it that we have in collection storage and how can we make it relevant and how can we bring it out in a way that it's displayed in a beautiful style, but makes you want to walk up to it and learn more about it. And so in this case, the exhibit does just that in the pairing of both the technology and the firearms and the fashion, where it's the entire story is there. And you can just look at one time period or you could look at multiple time periods. But what we're seeing is we're seeing families coming in. We're seeing couples come in, even multi-couples like that have been on like multi-double dates, like coming in and just looking at the exhibit. And you can see how they gravitate. Sometimes, you know, they're going into one section or the other. But at least for some people, they're coming in because, you know, like they fought in an encounter or they were part of a combat. And they're like, I remember this and I wanted to see it again.
Lisa, was it a challenge in some cases to find guns and gowns that fit in together in the same time period?
A little bit. It was we have a lot. The fashion was pretty easy, actually. We have over 250 dresses in our collection and countless other skirts and, you know, all of that. The guns, to match them up, that's why we had to borrow. So we borrowed the Tommy gun because we didn't really have anything from that time period, and that story just fit in perfectly. We also don't really have anything post-World War II. And it kind of, there's a lot of reasons for it. You know, veterans not holding on to their, you know, soldiers coming home don't hold on to their weapons. And there was some changes in military regulations. So we didn't have anything from the Vietnam era either. And so we actually borrowed the weapon that's on display there from the Wisconsin Veterans Museum. And where we really have the most is Civil War carbines and muskets, and then World War II. We are a little light on the World War I as well, but luckily we had a few pieces, including the machine gun that is on display to kind of fill in some of those gaps.
Beth, you mentioned the couples and groups coming in to see things. This seems like it would be a really fun conversation starter to look at how these things have changed over time in parallel. Are you seeing people react in that way?
Absolutely. The exhibit's on our first floor, so whenever I get a chance to go in through the museum, I just kind of stop and watch and observe. And it is very interesting to see how the conversations are happening. That makes the exhibit a success in my mind, because we want to see conversations. We want to see talking. We want to see that interaction in the gallery. And the exhibit is doing that, and we just hope that everybody gets a chance to come and see it.
Lisa, you mentioned a couple of the stories, the bankers buying the police a Tommy gun, the gowns that were worn at the Dutch royal court. Were you able to find a lot of personal stories attached to these artifacts?
Oh, yeah. Actually, my favorite is probably the Pearl Harbor one. The dress that is in our collection is a short, purple, very 50s, 40s, 50s style dress. but it was her wedding dress and she wore it, and we have it in our collection, and it said married. It was December 20th or 22nd or something of the year, Pearl Harbor. And as I dug into it, I searched her name, and it came up that her husband was at Pearl Harbor and was the photographer that has the photos at the Wisconsin State Historical Society. So he was there. He took photos of the event and then comes home, and 2 weeks later they get married, probably because he's going off into the conflict. And so it's just interesting how that one event that he photographed, well, that's a great story. The dress kind of combines it, and then you get a whole picture of this couple who had to go through this thing based on a conflict that we kind of see as history in the past, but it was very much there.
Yeah, that's fascinating, Beth. And yeah, this we read about the history of something in a textbook. It's pretty interesting to see it taking place in, you know, people lived in the neighborhoods people in Green Bay live in now.
Absolutely. And it's that just the connections, and then being able to say, you know, whether you like the fashion style or didn't like the fashion style, or, you know, my mom wouldn't let me wear that because, you know, that was too short at the time, or I really wanted that. Or in some cases, there's a maternity gown, which totally took me by surprise in the collection when they said we had one, because you can just think how it had to be adjusted over time, and maybe some of the hardships that came with that, but also the positives that came with it. And some of the gowns we know were kind of retooled based, again, if they were passed down. One of the gowns has additions onto it, so the base of it's older than some of the pieces that came on afterwards. But, you know, again, economy and being able to embellish and adore and turn something old into something a little bit newer or fashionable.
Sounds great. Beth, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
And Lisa, thanks for being with us.
Oh, yes.
That's Beth Lemke, Executive Director of the Neville Public Museum in Green Bay, and Lisa Kane, Curator of the Guns and Gowns exhibit we've been talking about. It runs through January of next year. They joined us in our studio in Green Bay.